Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is the 10th day of July, 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us from Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County is Jackie Vex. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Let's start with the marketplace in Chicago. And maybe we ought to start with the WASD numbers, which are due out tomorrow at 11 a.m. Central Time.
Yep. Well, it's going to be an interesting report because when you basically look at the world numbers, there's very little variation there from what we saw last month. The biggest variation in the entire report comes on the expectations for the U.S. numbers, dropping 12 carryout from 769 down to 725 and 13 carryout from 1949 down to 1896. You know, I think that the main thing that most people are going to be looking for is to see if there's any adjustment to yields. You know, we were given the acreage numbers. I believe, you know, when you listen to people talk and everything else, they're all expecting to see a lot of drop in the corn yield and that would actually bring that production number lower. And I myself don't think that that's necessarily true. I think when you look at the USDA and the fact that they use trend line yields, based on crop progress. In other words, we were very slow on that, but then based on crop ratings, which are pretty darn high, they may not do anything on this report at all other than leave it the way it is, just because of the fact that they you know, they have that opportunity. Then they don't necessarily have enough information. Now, on the bean side of things, I think we could actually see the bean number for 13, maybe from a yield standpoint, go down just slightly. But it's going to be a long morning until we get to 11 o'clock.
Will it be a quiet morning or just a long morning waiting?
Well, it won't necessarily be a quiet morning. You're certainly going to have people calling in. We had a lot of people calling in today about covering 14 crop insurance for February just because they're fearful, you know, that if we really do pull this crop out of the hat, that we're going to find ourselves in a position where 14 is going to be in a world of hurt when it comes time for next February. But you know, we just don't know where we're at. The weather is really what it comes down to.
And will it be weather next week, the following week, the week after that? I suppose all three, but you tell me.
Well, I think, you know, I think it's when you looked at the planting, the expectation would be that we'd probably see moving into about 40% of the crop coming into a pollination stage sometime within this time frame of the next 2 weeks. You know, everything's going to depend upon where it was planted, what state, what their growing degree days are, all of those types of things. But no matter who you start to talk to now, you know, there's good pollination going on, coming on in Illinois. There's pollination coming on all over. Of course, anything early planted is probably well pollinated already and has had more than enough moisture. The question comes down to, do we have enough moisture in the ground to be able to provide a good pollination experience for this plant? And therefore, a good crop.
Do we know what's been happening in the Delta region at all? Are they putting a good crop together for both corn and soybeans down there? Have you talked to anybody?
I talked to one of our Mississippi producers today, and he said, you know, there's not going to be any super early crop like we saw last year coming out of the Delta. He said, you know, they've been off. The weather has certainly not been great. Beans are okay, but not for them. And so, you know, we really have depended on the Delta for years now to provide us with that early crop. We know from last year when we had 1.7 billion bushels harvested before September 1st, that on average we're usually around 500 to 550 million. The question this year will be, is that going to happen or not?
Hey, can you come back to the futures directly and maybe talk a bit about the spreads and what I call the gap area? That would be August, September, October, but and maybe the difference between the September and the December corn contracts, those sorts of things.
Well, you know, when you look at the September contract at 553 3/4, July going to be expiring at the end of this week, going off. Right now, it's at 709 3/4. You know, so we get about a $1.56 spread there. I would expect that most people are going to think that September futures are going to climb. I think we need to be cautious. Because when you looked at the price and you go back and you look at the difference between the May and July contract, we, you know, for a long time, July got beat up, and it was very difficult for people to understand that. But this morning when I was talking to some of the folks in Illinois, we're seeing $1.55 over the September at this point in time for cash corn, which puts it pretty much equivalent with where the July crop is or the July futures are. And therefore, you know, that may hold down the September contract for a period of time. And then on the flip side, you know, if you're not paying attention to what basis is doing, if we saw the September futures really take off tomorrow, do we think basis is going to take off with it? I think we'll actually see basis kind of back down somewhat. But the old crop corn situation is, there's no question, it's extremely tight. I think the wild card is wheat. Everywhere you talk, the guys have had nothing but problems with rain on mature wheat, which creates feed wheat and then becomes a competitor for corn. And then people will say, you know, well, how can it be a competitor for corn when it's that much more expensive? As feed wheat, it's not going to be that much more expensive. And so I just think that the word is cautious, and that's what we have to be as we move forward in this marketplace.
Is it? And I think one of the analysts told me this recently. It may have been yesterday, in fact. I just don't recall. Is it with the September corn contract that because the delivery is at the end of the month, the expectation some might have that it would move higher really just gets pushed farther back, and it has to be done by basis, because by the time the end of the month comes around, we're probably likely at least into mid-harvest from the south and early harvest from the northern regions?
Well, you know, and when you say the end of the month, you're talking about the end of August, not the end of July.
No, the September contract. For corn. I'm sorry, I switched back to futures for corn for you.
Yeah, well, futures for corn, I mean, the September contract, basically we see first notice day at the end of August. And so, you know, we have about 6 weeks to trade on that, or 6 or 7 weeks to trade on it yet. And I think the idea of the basis situation is one, and I think, you know, as a business person, they're very smart. Why not make the basis better? Give us the ability to try and get some of the grain in our hands, and that gives us the ability to sell the futures and keep it from getting out of control. And we saw the same thing on the July contract, Todd, where it was held down for so long until the farmer finally said, I'm not selling anymore. And then we saw the July contract rebound. I think we could see the same type of thing in the September contract. You know, so we do have September options that will go off the third week in August. And so we have a lot of things going on. So technically, I guess you'd have to say the major trading times are probably 4 to 5 weeks from now. But that should give it enough time to be able to figure out what it has to do.
Turn your attention to the cattle market, where both the live cattle and the feeder cattle have been up at the top end of their range.
They certainly have. And, you know, when you saw the cattle right now, it's very interesting. You know, they still have continuous concerns about demand. Will the consumer continue to pay or be willing to pay the kind of prices that they're asking? We haven't had the strongest cash market, but it is only Wednesday. The Choice Select, now, if you remember back a number of weeks ago, we were talking about a Choice Select where we had 21 select or choice animals for every one select. Right now, we only have 8.5 choice animals for every select animal. So we've moved through those heavy, really well-finished cattle, and now we have more green cattle. Ultimately, what that means is there'll probably continue to be pressure on the futures, because anytime they have to pay for more select than choice animals, anytime it's below 10-1, the price is always going to be somewhat depressed. And when you look at hogs, you know, we've seen a lot of short covering. We had pushed down, but we're still $8 below the index. And now, don't take that wrong. $8 below the index, the basis in hogs at this point in time in many areas is $9 below the index. And so from that standpoint, you'd have to look at the hog futures and say, hey, you know, they could possibly even lose a little more unless cash goes higher. But always an interesting market, and I'm sure all the end users are going to be watching tomorrow to see what's going on.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey, that's Jackie Vake. She's at Stewart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Joins us on the Closing Market Report.